Well, it's definitely Christmas time, and if you're already ahead of the game and you have all of your shopping done, more power to you. Come see me after service. I'll give you my list and give you some money, and you can go ahead and get an early start for me. You know, sometimes at Christmas, we expect everything to be right. And in order for us to have a good Christmas, we think that everything has to be just perfect, right? Every person that we want there has to be there. Every gift that we would like to get, or maybe for some of us, every gift that we would like to give someone else, we have to be able to get that and give that to them in the right time. And we just want all the circumstances to be everything that they need to be in order for us to have what we would call a good Christmas. Well, last Sunday, we kicked off a series in titled Best Christmas Ever, and when we announced the series, I got some text messages, and they said, you know, John, I know that there's no way I can have the best Christmas ever this year just because of where my life is at, just because of where my job is at, or where my family is at, or just because of where I'm at as an individual, and you know, sometimes we expect Christmas to go ahead and be that perfect moment where everything is exactly right. But you know, the amazing thing is this, that when we look at the Christmas story and we look and see how things unfolded throughout the scriptures, there are so many of the surrounding circumstances that we would look at and we would say, man, I wouldn't want that for my Christmas at all. How many of you want to spend Christmas in a stable? That's what I thought. You want to go ahead and sit around on Christmas morning and open up gifts with some cows and maybe a donkey and then some other things. No, we would just assume skip that, right? That's really not what we want, because that wouldn't be our ideal set of circumstances. So last Sunday when we kicked this series off, here's what we said. If we want to have the best Christmas ever, we need to have the best expectations ever. We need to expect Christmas not to be about the gifts, not to be about the gatherings, not to be about everything and everyone else. We just need to expect Christmas to be about Jesus. When we go ahead and make Christmas a time that's all about Jesus, nothing more and nothing less, that begins to go ahead and bring about a change in your life and my life and the circumstances that surround Christmas. We said we can just expect Christmas to be about Jesus, nothing more and nothing less. We just be intentional about it and say, hey, I'm going to make Christmas about Jesus. I'm going to make it about the one who came to do something and be something for me and for the entire world. But then we said we need to expect God to be all that he is. You know, sometimes we shortchange God with our expectations. We go ahead and we look at our circumstances, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, and then we look at our circumstances and we say, wow, because of all these things that are surrounding me, because of all these things that are temporary, an eternal God can't go ahead and do all the incredible things that he's capable of. Do you know Isaiah said there's going to be a Savior that's going to be born? And it's going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Just think about this for just a moment. Christmas is the celebration and the realization that God came to be with us. And some would say, John, I'm in a really difficult moment right now. You know what? I don't want to tell you you're not in a difficult moment. But I want to tell you, while you're in a difficult moment, Christmas is all about God being with us in that difficult moment. Some would say, John, I don't have the answers for life right now. Do you know the Prophet Isaiah said he's a wonderful counselor? Means he can give miraculous comfort and he can give miraculous advice. He can give miraculous insight. When we're searching for peace, when we're searching for hope, when we're searching for the right answer, the right way, the right moment, the right time, the Bible says that that's why God came to be with us, because he's a miraculous comforter and counselor. It says he's the mighty God. That means it's all his. He holds it all in place. The things that concern us, the things that cause us to wonder, and we think, man, is he able to take care of this? Is he able to go ahead and be there? Isaiah said he's the mighty God, which means he's the one that can hold it all together. When we feel like there's not enough of us to go around, when we feel like our world is falling apart, when we feel like we have lack, Isaiah said he's the one that can hold it all together. But then he says he's the everlasting Father. It means he's not going anywhere. He tells us he's the Prince of Peace. When we need someone to calm the circumstances of our heart and our life, There he is. So we said, if we're going to have the best Christmas ever, let's just expect it to be about Jesus. And let's expect God to be able to be all that he is. Because no matter where you're at right now and what you're going through, whether life is great and you've just got that promotion, whether the family is good and everything is coming together and lining up for what looks like the best Christmas ever, or whether you're just kind of dreading the entire season, I want you to know that we can expect God to be all that he is. Because today, as we look at our circumstances, here's what we're going to discover. The Christmas story is filled. It's almost overrun with circumstances that weren't ideal. Yet in the midst of circumstances that weren't ideal, we see that when it seems like life was at its toughest, God was at his best. So let's just go ahead and take a look at Luke chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and follow along. If you don't, we're going to put the words on the screen. In Luke chapter 2, here's what we're going to discover. The best Christmas ever and the circumstances that surround it. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. Here's what we're going to go ahead and discover. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to all the world that they should be registered." So we look, and here's what we find. It says, "Then this census first took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David." Verse number 5, it says this. Verse number 6. "So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished for her to be delivered or completed." It says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now we go to verse number 10, and here's what we find. The angels are out on a hillside. They appear to a group of shepherds. It says this, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Verse number 11, it says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, in those circumstances, here's what we just discovered. Giving birth to a child away from home, we were able to go ahead and look at having travel to be taxed and to go ahead and register. We stop and just look, and we get an idea that the circumstances aren't real great. It's just not going, and it's not really a good thing. Now we go a little bit further back, and here's what we're going to discover about the circumstances of Christmas, about the circumstances of Christ's birth. We're going to find out that Jesus didn't come into the best circumstances. We're going to find out that Jesus came in spite of those circumstances. Let's take a look at what the Bible teaches us in a couple of places about the circumstances of Christmas. Just something that we can go ahead and get a hold of. And maybe we could look at the circumstance of insignificance. The circumstance of insignificance. It's just found in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. In Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, here's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says, "O Bethlehem, out of you shall come a person that's going to go ahead and rule my people. Out of you is going to come one who I'm going to go ahead and use to rule my people." But there's a phrase in there that I didn't go ahead and just cite. It says, "Bethlehem, Ephratah, little one." Little one means insignificant one. The prophet looks and says, okay, out of an insignificant, small, little town, God's going to do something amazing. You see, the city in which Jesus would be born in was referred to as insignificant. Now, I want to tell you something. That doesn't look like the best of circumstance, does it? How about the family tree of Jesus? You know, some of us get around Christmas and we think, man, everything's going to be great if Cousin Eddie doesn't show up, right? I mean, we've seen Christmas Vacation, and everybody has a Cousin Eddie, and if you say, we don't have a Cousin Eddie in our family, you might be Cousin Eddie. I'm just saying, all right? Because every family has one. That's just the way it goes. I mean, you got that person that walks in and life just gets a little difficult, or it just kind of goes off the cliff at that moment. And everything that you had planned just falls apart. Well, here's the reality. When we look at the circumstances of the family tree of Jesus, you know what? There were some bad branches. There were some difficult issues. Do you know that Rahab was a prostitute and she's in the lineage of the line of Jesus? Think about that for just a moment. There she is, right in line with the genealogy of Jesus. And we can go down through the list. We have Rahab the harlot. We have Bathsheba, who was taken by the king, and she would go ahead and give birth to Solomon. But out of that relationship, that was kind of in a situation that was adultery, just open, we look and we say, man, how can anything good come from some of these circumstances that are surrounding the birth of Jesus? He had some difficulty as well. How about the circumstance of being just a lowly servant? Luke chapter 1 and verse number 38, Mary says to the angel, I'm just a lowly servant. I'm just someone that's insignificant. There's not much that I could do. Or maybe we could go ahead and look at how Joseph would say the same thing. We could look at the circumstance of financial pressure, the travel, the taxes, the unexpected birth in a town away from home. How about the circumstance of a lowly manger? He was placed in a manger, and that's given to us so that we can see that there was a poor, humble beginning that was away from the comforts of a home. We can look at the circumstance of fear and uncertainty. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20, the angel tells Joseph, be not afraid. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30, the angel tells Mary, be not afraid. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, the angel appears unto the shepherd and says, be not afraid. We're getting a theme that when we look at the circumstances at the birth of Christ in that first Christmas, none of those circumstances were perfect. How many of us want to go ahead and experience a little more financial difficulty? Nobody does, but there it was. How many of us want to deal with the unexpected at the Christmas time? We don't want to, but that's what is taking place. How many people in our culture and society today need one more reason to have anxiety or fear? We don't. Life is overwhelming at times. And the circumstances we look at, we can look and say, okay, we have struggles. The reality is this. There's struggles all over the story of Christmas. And there's circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ that were not ideal. The manger was not the latest and greatest hospital. The manger was a place of insignificance, a place that was dirty, a place that probably wasn't the first on the list for great things to come from. But here's what we see. Jesus didn't come because of the circumstances. He came in spite of them. So let's just look at this idea this morning about trying to have the best Christmas ever by trying to have the best circumstances ever. You see, the best circumstances ever are the circumstances in which you and I hear God's voice and we're willing to respond to God's direction. Because that's what happens in the circumstances of Christmas that make Christmas such a great moment and such a great time. You see, when people heard fear, They went ahead and responded to God's voice and did what he said. When people felt insignificant, they said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you on this, and I'm going to do what you want me to do. When people didn't have the resources and they didn't have the strength that they felt like they needed, they just said, okay, God, we're going to lean on you, and we're going to trust you, and we're going to do what you guide and direct us to do. And guess what? It all came together, and it all worked out okay. Not because they had the best circumstance, but because of in those circumstances, they made the choice to listen to God and respond to his leading. When we think about the circumstances of Christmas, Jesus came in some very negative circumstances, but Jesus came to change the circumstance and the condition of the heart. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21, an incredible passage of scripture that gives us something that's really basic, but something that Jesus came to do. Because while we try and get things right and we look at the circumstances of our life and we think, man, my circumstances have to change, here's why Jesus came. Jesus came to change the circumstances and the conditions of the heart. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21, the angel's talking with Joseph, and here's what happens. It says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, as much as the circumstances of the stable had to be a rough condition, the circumstances of the stable and the dirtiness of the stable don't compare to the dirtiness of your life and my life. You see, the Bible says that no matter how good we are, no matter how much we have, no matter what background we come from, that your life and my life, the best that we have to offer, our righteousness, the good points, they're just but filthy rags. They're nothing great about us. And Jesus came so that he could go ahead and take his righteousness and put it on your life and my life. You see, Jesus didn't come so much for the circumstances that surround us. Jesus came to change the circumstance and the condition of your heart and my heart. And if we could just come back to that and make that our focal point at this Christmas time, it makes your life and my life much better. You see, while we're busy planning the right circumstances and trying to get everything right and wondering if Christmas will even happen this year because of the circumstances of our life, because of where we're at, we need to come back to the point and remember, Jesus didn't come into the perfect circumstances, and he didn't come so that we could have the perfect circumstances. Jesus came to change the circumstances and the condition of your heart and the condition of my heart. The angel told Joseph, Joseph, it's going to be okay, because here's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to save his people. He's going to save you. He's going to save all who want to come to him. He's going to save them from their sins. You see, we live in a world where we tend to go ahead and focus on all the things outside of us. But do you know what? Do you know what Joseph and Mary and the shepherds and all that got to be a part of it learned? Something that we need to learn. Jesus is not that interested in all the outside circumstances. He's more interested in the heart. He's more concerned about what's going on inside of us. You see, it's Emmanuel, God with us, and it's the God who came to be with us, to save us. You know why your circumstances and my circumstances in life get tough? It's because of sin. That's just where it's at. We look at the world today and we look at the circumstances and we look at all the chaos. We look at the feelings that we have and the emotions that we have and the struggles that we have. And do you know what it's because of? It's because of sin. And Jesus came to go ahead and give us hope in the midst of this culture and in the midst of this chaos that we live in. And one day he's going to remove us from it. One day, if we know him and trust him, we get to spend eternity with him forever. And guess what? The circumstances there are going to be absolutely perfect because there will be no sin. But Jesus entered this sin-ridden world, and he came in to less than ideal circumstances to show you and me that the external circumstances of life aren't the most important thing. The most important thing is the condition of our heart. So during this Christmas season, as we go ahead and worry about all the other circumstances and trying to get things right, we need to realize that the best Christmas ever, the best circumstances ever, are the circumstances where we go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to focus on my heart. God, what do you want to do in my life? God, what do you want me to respond to? How do you want me to follow you? You see, the reality is Jesus came to change the circumstances and the condition of the heart, but Jesus came to exchange the temporary for the eternal. He came to change the temporary for the eternal. I want you to think about something for just a moment. The circumstances that surrounded the birth of Christ, the census, that was temporary. It is no more. Verse number 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Mary is going to bring forth her son. And it says that in verse number 7. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Do you know that the straw that was in that manger, it's gone? Do you know that manger that was there, it is no more? The stable that was there, it's gone. Oh, we may know some locations, but those things in and of themselves are gone. Do you realize that Jesus would go ahead and he would move from a manger? Matthew, we find him in a house, but later on, Jesus says that the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. So we follow one who left the splendor of heaven, comes, and he's placed in a manger. Later, he goes to a home, and then later he says he has no place to lay his head. Do you see a consistent theme of circumstances never being ideal in the life of Jesus? He was always focused on the eternal. And sometimes all we focus on are the temporary things, and we forget about the things that really matter. You see, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was the best that they could do, but those swaddling clothes are no more. But his righteousness and his life continues on. All the circumstances of the first Christmas, with the exception of the birth of Christ, you know what? They were all temporary. They were all temporary. Just think about it. They've all passed. They've all faded away. But there's one thing that's still there, and it's the Christ of Christmas. And while we're worried about getting circumstances right, and we're worried about the best Christmas ever, and trying to make sure that we have the best circumstances ever, and we get the right gift, and the dinner is just perfect, and everybody that needs to be there will be there, we worry about those things. That there are things about Christmas that are eternal. And it's Jesus the Christ. And it's so easy for us to lose the perspective of that when we begin to look at all the other circumstances that we want to be right. And I get it, because I'm guilty of it. I want to get my little girls a gift that they want. I want them to smile, and I want them to go ahead and have a great time. And I want our family to be able to get together and have a good time together and to be able to have that perfect moment. I want those things, but you know what? Next year they're going to want another gift. What am I saying? Not next year. The week after Christmas. The toy's going to break. The clothes are going to be outgrown. There's going to be a need for another gathering, and we'll want to put something else that's temporary right in that place. And then we're going to see the same cycle over and over and over and over. The circumstances that surrounded the first Christmas were not the best circumstances ever. What made them the best circumstances ever was that Joseph said, okay, God, I don't understand this. I'm essentially ready to go ahead and be married to Mary. We've got everything planned and we have a wonderful life together, but you tell me that you've got a different plan and we need to go ahead and wait because she's going to give birth to a son and she's going to be a virgin and all these things and all of my friends are talking and all these other things are going on. I don't understand it, but here's what Joseph did. Joseph said, okay, God, I'll trust you on this. That's what made it the best circumstance ever in Joseph's life. Do you know what made it the best circumstance ever in Mary's life? Is because Mary said, okay, I'm just a lowly servant. I'm just a common person. People don't like me and people are talking about me and my heart is breaking on the inside because when I go out into the marketplace, all the other ladies are looking at me. They're looking at my bump on my belly, and there was no Instagram then to take a picture and everybody say, that's cute. And if she could have, do you know what people would have happened? Well, you know what they would have said? They would have said, wow, this lady's pregnant out of wedlock. They would have said, we could take her outside the gates of the city and we could go ahead and stone her. She was putting a lot on the line and she said, okay, it may not feel like the best circumstance ever, but do you know what I'll do? I'll go ahead and I'll say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm going to go ahead and follow you. That's what made it the best circumstance ever, is because Mary was willing to say yes in an extremely difficult moment. And maybe the circumstance that you're in right now isn't real great. Maybe the circumstances that are leading you into this Christmas season are circumstances that you would just assume do without. Can I tell you this? Jesus came to change the circumstances and the condition of your heart. The first thing is this, letting him do a work in your heart. He came to be your Savior. Would you let him be your Savior? He came so that you could get to know God up close and personal. Would you allow him to get close to you? Don't keep him at arm's length. Don't push him away. Don't keep him distant. Let him get up close because he came to be with us. He came into poor circumstances. He came into a chaotic world so that he could get close to us. Would you let him go ahead and change the circumstances and the condition of your heart? Would you let him go ahead and change the temporary for the eternal? To give you a new focal point and begin to look to Jesus, to who he is and what he wants to do in your life. And you could just step back and say, okay, all of these circumstances that are surrounding me, one day all of these things are going to be done and over. But where will my relationship with Jesus be? Where will my relationship with others be? You see, that's what Christmas is all about. He came to change the condition of the heart. He came to change the temporary for the eternal. But he came to change the circumstances for a greater purpose. You know, Bethlehem wasn't a big city. And as big cities go, it still isn't a big city. But something took place in that small, seemingly insignificant town that would change the history of the world. You see, we can go back and we can look at a lot of things in the city of David. A lot of great moments took place in Bethlehem. A lot of great moments took place throughout its history, but the greatest moment was this, when Jesus became a part of that story. We look at Joseph and Mary. We look at the innkeeper. We look at the census. We look at the shepherds. All of those things were used for a greater purpose. I mean, we look at it and we say, man, those are not good circumstances. I don't want to stay in a stable, let alone have to give birth there. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But in every one of those instances, here's what God did. God used an unlikely situation, unlikely people, unlikely circumstances, and he used them for a greater purpose. And I don't know what the circumstances of your life are today, but I know this, God is capable of using it for a greater purpose. You see, all of those circumstances and more were used for trust. They were used for people to go ahead and respond to God in faith. God was using lowly, insignificant people. He was using common, ordinary people. He was using people that said, I am nothing, I have nothing, but here I am. I'll give you my heart. I'll say yes to you. And God did some amazing things in their heart and in their life. You see, some of us are looking for the best circumstances ever. And because we don't have the best circumstances ever, we automatically think that we're not going to have the best Christmas ever. But can I tell you this? Your best Christmas ever is the Christmas where you go ahead and say, I'm not going to focus on all the circumstances, what I have, what I don't. I'm going to focus on the one who came to change the world, who came to change my heart, and let him change your heart. Let him take your focus from the temporary to the eternal. And let him use the circumstances that you're in right now. The things that you're going through. The great mountaintop experience or the pain that's digging deep inside. Let him use those circumstances for a greater purpose. Because he can. And he will. He did it for Joseph. He did it for Mary. He'll do it for you. We look at them and we think, man, their names are in the Bible. They're special people. They're influencers. God must have really loved them. No, here's what happened. They said, yes. Okay, you can use me. You can go ahead and do something with my life. You can do something with less than ideal circumstances. Today, when you begin to go ahead and say yes in the midst of less than ideal circumstances, God can go ahead and begin to work in your life. And no matter what the circumstance, God can use that circumstance for a greater purpose. So today, you want the best circumstance ever? Say yes to him with your heart. Take that focus from the temporary to the eternal. And let him use your life for a greater purpose. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Just a moment. We're going to stand and sing together. We're going to have the opportunity to come and pray, if that's what we need to do, right here around the front. If you want somebody to pray with you, someone will be available to pray with you. You're here today and you would just say, John, I've got some circumstances in my life and honestly, I just need some prayer with them. I've got some challenging circumstances. I've got conditions going on in my life that I never dreamed that I would have. Maybe today you would just come and stand up here at the altar or kneel and someone will pray with you. You can do that the minute that we begin to sing. Maybe you have some things taking place in your life and you've listened to the message and you say, John, I don't know that there's ever been a time where I've let Jesus go ahead and take away my sin and ask him to forgive me of my sins and to be my Savior. Maybe today you would like to invite Jesus to do that. If you want some help doing that, we're here. We're here to help you. Maybe today you just want to come and pray alone. Whatever your need might be, I just want to encourage you to step out and come when we begin to sing. If you would stand with me, please. If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. If you don't know the words, just let God guide you. If you've got a want to in your heart to come and pray up here or to have someone pray with you, just do that.